Chris did preach my message, and I'm glad. I'm glad when someone preaches the message I'm going to preach. We're on the same page. It's always good to be on the same page. We are in Spring Lake. The Lord does mysterious things. Mysterious things. I remember several months ago, I mentioned to Joe Terrell. I said, I can't believe this. At 61, God's called me to pastor there. And Joe said, well, Moses got 19 years on you. He was 80. And Todd asked me how it was going there. I said, it's going so good, I'm afraid to breathe. He said, well, it won't last. I told them that they got a kick out of that. Turn to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Now, I did not title this, What is the Gospel? As far as the title goes. But by the grace of God, by His help, when I finish, you will know who the gospel is. You will know who your only hope is, your only righteousness, your only sanctification, your only justification. You're going to know that Jesus Christ is all in all. And that's the gospel. He's all and in all. He's all to the Father, and He's all to the sinner. He's all the Father needs to have anything to do with me. And He's all that I need to have anything to do with the Father. He's all that I need. But last Wednesday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I've been wrestling about a message and the place to preach Christ from. And I woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And this message stayed on my mind. This just rolled. Scripture after scripture, thought after thought for 2 to 3 hours. And then Wednesday I sat down and I sketched out this outline. And I titled the message, Have You Ever Been Afraid of God? Have you ever been afraid of God? If not, you've never met Him. You've never met Him. Such a one as myself cannot meet such a one as He is and not be afraid. John, on the Isle of Patmos, when the Lord spoke to him, he fell down like a dead man. He didn't just walk up and say, how you doing? No, he fell down like a dead man. The Lord had to put strength in him. The Lord had to lift him up so He could speak to him. And on this premises, I want to preach the gospel to you. Now, it's written in Job chapter 1 that Job was a perfect man. How'd that happen? Perfect man. The Scripture says there's none good, no, not one. And yet here it says he's a perfect man. Well, I'll tell you how it happened, the same way it happened for every one of you that are perfect in Christ. That's how he was a perfect man. That's how we are perfect. In Jesus Christ, we are absolutely perfection. We are perfection. Perfect. And it says he was an upright man. He's an honest man. Who made him that way? I've never met an honest man before. You know, we're not born that way. We're not born honest. But when God saves a sinner, He makes an honest man out of him. Honest man or honest woman. He does. And he said he was a man that feared God. He had a right fear of God. He was a man greatly tried of God. And I love the honesty of Job. When it hurt, he said it hurt. He said it hurt. He didn't act like it didn't hurt. He said it hurts. Now let me read you three scriptures and then let's get into this. In Job chapter 23, in verse 13, we're going to start right out with the sovereignty of God. He's going to meet a sovereign God. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. That's what's going on right now. Right now. You go over to chapter 37. And it says that God says to the snow, be thou on the earth. So that ought to shut up any complaining of what's going on out there tonight. God's not Mother Nature. Nature doesn't have a mother. It has a God. It has a God, God Almighty. That's who it is. And he says, be thou on the earth. It says, by the breath of God, frost is given. Oh, that we would recognize that everything that is and moves, God's hand's in it. His hand is in it. But Job said here in verse 14, for he performeth. This is what's going on with Job. God is performing the thing that's appointed for me. And many such things, many such appointments are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. And this is the words that got me thinking. When I consider, I am afraid of him. I'm afraid of him. There are at least two times that comes to my mind when a child of God finds him or herself afraid of God. I mean afraid of God. The first time is when God first awakened you from death and gave you life. You see, God has to give us life before he can teach us anything. You can teach an old dog new tricks, but you can't teach a dead one anything. You can't do it. And God has to give life before he can instruct us. All thy children shall be taught of God. And all who hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. Christ is the teacher and the lesson. But he's got to give life before it takes hold. He's got to give life. You've got to have something to receive in it. It's like this cup. You've got to have his cup to receive water in. Spiritually dead's not going to receive anything. Not at all. For the first time, you found out that God is. That he really is. That you, for the first time, you considered the God that is. People believe, and we believe, before God gave us life, that there is a God. But not until we are given life and light from the dead do we believe the God that is. There's a difference. There's a difference between believing that there is a God and believing God that is. Abraham believed God. He believed him. God becomes real. You become, for the first time, conscious of God. You become God conscious. You become like it was Hagar said, thou God seest me. That becomes real. That becomes real. Until this happens, we have no fear of God while in spiritual death. We don't fear God. We think God is like ourselves. Whew. That's a low thought of God. You can't think any lower of God than to think he's like you. You can't do it. It says in Psalm 50, 21, a portion of that verse says, you thought I was altogether, not kind of like you, but altogether like you. You think I'm like you. I don't know anybody that's ever been afraid of themselves. And that's why there's no fear of God. You think God's like you. That's what he said. Or, if you have a fear of God of some kind, it's been taught by the precept of men. It's a Bible class fear. Listen to this in Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. That's nothing more than a Sunday school fear. That's all that is. But when God gives you life, and when God calls you and quickens you, for the first time, God is God, and sin is sin. Sin's not a mistake. It's sin. Christ didn't die for mistakes. Christ died for sin. You know, I've learned some time ago now that I've never made a mistake in my life. But I sure sinned a lot. And Christ died for sin. He died for sin. I learned this, and you learned this. Holy takes on a whole new meaning. God is unlike me. God is light. I am darkness. God is truth. I am a liar. God is just. I am unjust. God loves righteousness. I love sin. The difference between God and me is infinite. It's absolutely infinite. It's as far apart as the east is from the west. There's that much difference. It's an infinite difference. Just as much as there's an infinite difference between righteousness and sin. There's an infinite difference. And then we learn for the first time when we've heard this, and it's so, and you're going to hear it again. We learn that God is sovereign. Job said in verse 13, but he's in one mind, and who can turn him? You know, the psalmist said, Lord, turn me. Turn me. I'm not trying to turn God. God, turn me. Turn me. Who can turn him and what his soul desires? Even that he doeth. That's exactly what's going on right now throughout this whole world. Is exactly what God desires. Exactly. It's written in Job 33:13. Why dost thou strive against him? I believe Elihu said this. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. Why are you doing what you're doing? What'd you say, Chris? Shut up. He says, shut up. You know, he never apologized to Job. You go from Job, I think it's 37 when God speaks. He never says, Job, I'm sorry. I had to prove a point here. Well, that's an awful tough way to prove a point. Find somebody else to prove your points on. He never apologizes. He never says, I'm sorry. You know what he says? Job, gird up your loins like a man, stand up and answer me. Stand up like a man, like the man I've made you, and you answer me. I'm going to put some questions out here now, and God's going to display his glory. Oh, I wish I could, preach God as he is. Because you'll never need Christ until you see something of who God is. You won't do it. Only a sovereign can do that. Only a sovereign can say, I don't answer to you. The President of the United States, I don't care how cocky he is, he still has to answer. But not God. Not God. And we'll see a little more of this later on in the chapter. It says this in Job 37:22. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible, terrible majesty. The prophets of old called him the great and dreadful God. That's what they called him. Nehemiah called him the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. Oh, if I could just scratch the surface of the greatness of God Almighty, of the one who spoke this all into existence. If I could do that, then I could preach Christ. Then I could preach Christ. He says in Isaiah 2, verse 10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. Your majesty. God does not answer to us. The potter has power over the clay to make it a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy, whichever is wisest for him to make it. Henry said one time, God's going to save all he can wisely save. All he can wisely save. God can save me for the first time. Every child of God will realize this, that God can save me, God could save you, or damn you, or damn me. He can do it. There's enough there to damn. A whole lot. God can do either one and be a just God, whichever He does. We are in His hands. I'm telling you, until God gives you life, you think God's in your hands. But when God gives you life, you realize you're in His hands. And you realize you are in the hands of a sovereign. We are at His mercy. I can't think of any place to be that's better. Because it says He delights to show mercy. He delights to show it more than anybody here delights to have it. He delights to show mercy. That leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And God, we realize for the first time that God must do right. For God to be God, He's a just God. He's got to do right. He can do no wrong. Listen to Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Psalm 97:2. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation. They dwell there. The habitation of His throne. Now we know if God, this God, if He deals with us in justice, we're goners. It's over. It's over. If God deals with me in justice, it's over. We cannot stand before God as we are. There has to be someone between us. There's got to be a dazed man, an umpire between us. I can't deal with God as I am. Job couldn't even answer a question. All the questions that God asked, he didn't answer one of them. It was over his head. You know why? You know, I'm convinced that one of the reasons God didn't reveal any of that to him or answer it, he wouldn't have understood it anyway. You can't. His thoughts and his ways are so high above ours, there's no need for him to reveal a lot of things to me. I still can't get it. I don't have that kind of mind. I don't have the mind of Christ yet, like I'm going to have when this is all over. I don't have it. The Scripture says, you know, listen. Scripture says that God is consuming fire. And you and I are wood, hay, and stubble. Guess who's getting burned up? Us. The Scripture says, and it says, has this ever troubled you? This has troubled me till I understood the gospel. The Lord gave me some peace with it. He will by no means clear the guilty. God's never cleared a guilty man. You know what he did? He killed him. The substitution of Christ was so effectual that when justice dealt with him on Calvary's tree, it dealt with John Chapman. And that guilty bird was put to death. He was put to death in Christ. And that new man that's created of God, he's not guilty. He's not guilty. I looked at that and I thought, how? It said he would by no means clear the guilty. He doesn't. He put me to death in Christ. He put every one of his elect to death in Christ. He dealt with their guilt. Christ became me. That when he died, I died. And the law of God, the justice of God was absolutely satisfied that I died. And I've been dealt with. And it's over. Now how can I stand before God and not be afraid? How can a wretch like me stand before such a glorious person as God, holy and just, and turn over to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. I'll give you the verse after I get a drink. Isaiah 32, verse 2. Here's how I can stand before God Almighty. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of waters in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's a man. God has provided a man. God has provided himself as a man. The man Christ Jesus. You know, John said we've touched him, we've handled him, we've saw him. And what he said, we've saw life. We've touched life. And you know life has a name. Jesus Christ. Truth has a name. Jesus Christ. The next time we preach on the names of God, the first name of God we ought to preach is Jesus Christ. I've heard men take the names of God, preach on the names of God, and the very first one we ought to preach and use is Jesus Christ. Because all the names of God are embodied in that man. In that man. God became incarnate. Now listen to this. God has provided himself in the person of his Son to be a hiding place from himself. Oh man, that blessed me when I was laying there in bed and that thought came to me. There's no better place to hide from God than in God. There's none. In Christ, in Jesus Christ, we have been chosen. You know, if you're going to talk about election, and somebody said this, I believe, but you got to start with God's elect. Behold, in Isaiah 42, behold, mine elect, in whom my soul is well pleased. Probably the reason most people hate elections and never we don't start with the right place. Christ. You gotta start in the right place. Christ. He's the elect. And God chose a multitude of sinners in him, and he's gonna make every one of them just like him. Just like him. In Christ we have been chosen. In Christ, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. in the heavenlies. Is that when we accepted Him? Did that happen when we accepted Him? Did that happen when we let Him come into our stinking hearts? No, that happened before God created it. You see, God's a God of order. Everything God does, He's already... God's not reactive. God's never reactive. He's proactive. He's taking care of everything. It's already done. It's already settled. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Listen to Colossians 2:10. And ye, you, O child of God, sinner, worried, afraid, get a hold of this. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and powers. But you are complete in Him. You are completely righteous in Him. You are completely justified in Him. You are completely forgiven in Him. You are completely cleansed in Him. You are completely accepted in Him. Is there anything hard to understand about the word complete? That's an easy word to understand. You're complete. You're whole. You're whole. We lack nothing in Christ. In Him we're complete. And in Christ we have a mediator. We have one to stand between us and God Almighty. God standing between God. Does it get any better than that? It gets no better than God standing between me and God. God put Himself between me and Him. Get a hold of that. That'll make your day. We have a court-appointed mediator. Court-appointed. Court-appointed. I love what Job said here. Look back here. Job is... He's talking about being afraid of God, but look at the confidence he also uses in this same chapter. A believer is nothing but a paradox. Let me find the verse. Job said here in verse 6, "Will He plead against me with His great power if I go before Him?" is what he's saying. No. He'd put strength in me. And you know that strength is Jesus Christ. He's my strength to stand before God. There, the righteous might dispute with Him, might lay out their case before Him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. I like this reading. So shall I be justified by my judge, cleared of all charges. That's what's going to happen. He's going to say, not guilty. It doesn't matter if the whole world and all of hell stands there and says, I can tell you what he did. He's going to say, not guilty. There ain't a thing on the books. There's not a charge on the books. That's justified. That's how thorough salvation is in Jesus Christ. We lack nothing in Christ. His blood cleanses from all sin. Do you have sin? He has cleansing. He has cleansing. You need forgiveness? Listen to this. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. If you know what sin is, you need forgiveness, and you know it. You know, guilty only means something to those who are guilty. Justification only means it's more than a doctrine to those who are guilty. Now, if you're not guilty, it's just a doctrine. It's theology. But boy, if you know what guilty is, it's more than that. It's to be set free. In Christ, we are delivered from the judge by the judge, justified by him. Jesus Christ is the good news of the gospel. He's it. Now briefly, the second time a child of God is afraid of God. Job said, he's in one mind, and who can turn him? Nobody can change his mind. And he performs the things that's appointed for me. When God lays his hand of affliction, you see, faith that's in Christ, that's of God, is going to be tried. Untried faith is no faith at all. And he's going to lay his hand of affliction. That word means hard experience. It means hard experience. God took Job's 10 children. That's a hard experience. I can't enter into that. I can't imagine that. God does not ask what he can or cannot take. He takes what is best for our eternal good and his glory, and sometimes that's very painful. God may reach in and take the dearest thing to me and to you. He might do that. I can remember Henry saying that sometimes along that line, and I think, I wish you wouldn't say that. That would just trouble me. If it need be, he will. I've seen him do it over the years. And that makes me afraid of him. There are times it has made me afraid of God. Job said, when I consider, I'm afraid. I trust him, though he slay me. Well, I trust him, but that doesn't always drive away the fear. Job said, he's in one mind, who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performs the things that's appointed for me, and many such things, many such appointments are with him. Therefore, I'm troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. Job knew this would not be the last of his afflictions. He knew that God had appointed more, and it could get worse. Job said in Job 3:25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Now, what are we to do when this comes? When this kind of fear comes? We look to Christ. We look to Christ when God awakens us and we see who God is and we see ourselves as sin, not just some things we've done, but who we are. And we run to Christ. God enables us to run to Him and trust Him. And now what? Now He brings this. Turn over to Psalm 56 and I'm going to close. The same thing you did when you trusted Christ, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Look in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When the storm of appointed afflictions passed my way, when it passes our way, let's trust the one who sent him. Our Heavenly Father knows best. When these times come and God makes you afraid, whether it's over sin or over him reaching in and taking something that's dear to you, let's trust Him who is infinitely wise. He makes no mistakes. Let's trust Him who is infinitely good. Let's not judge God's goodness by circumstance. Now, if I'm having a bad day, if God is reaching in and taking something, that doesn't change the nature of God. He's still good. God is good. Whatever he's doing with me. We trust him who loves you with an infinite love, an everlasting love. We trust him whose grace is sufficient. And listen to this. We trust Him who has already taken care of the weightier matter. Our salvation. That's the weightier matter. Remember this. Our troubles are not a matter of God's power to deliver, but a matter of His will. Trust Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. It says in Ephesians 1, listen, that Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's trust Him who's above all principality and power, whether it be for the forgiveness of sins or to help me through a heartache. Trust Him who is God. Who is God. Who plants His foot upon the storm and rides upon the wings of the wind. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Let's trust Him to bring us through all our fearful days until He brings us home. We sing a song. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. That's how we start out. And that's how we end. That's how we end. All right.
I don't know that I've ever heard a better day of preaching, ever.